So this obliterates the Elwyn thing.
Oh.
Hi, I'm JC. Welcome to the Forbidden Cities, a Keeper of the Lost Cities podcast. A podcast where Cindy and I talk about Keeper of the Lost Cities books, theories, characters, ships, and more.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to episode 18 of the Forbidden Cities podcast. This is going to be a fun episode, and I'll go ahead and say it will probably have spoilers, so if you haven't read the whole series, don't listen to it. We say things from the series that, you know, we're not thinking about it this episode. But, for those of you who have read, I'm so sorry that we took so long, to put out another podcast episode. I know it has been a long time. June was a crazy month for both of us. I was out of town for 2 weeks. Sydney's been out of town. I had
probably about the same amount total.
Yeah, probably more. And
maybe,
yeah,
Cindy's, more trips total.
Cindy's moving, so she's got a lot of thing going on with that. And then I'm going to college in the fall, so there's lots of registration and stuff that has to happen. So it's been crazy. I've also had my work hours up to where I'm like 30 plus hours. So, you know, we've just been busy. So I'm very sorry. The reason that we're able to start recording again pretty regularly now is we actually are using a different recording setup. We are remote, actually. So she is at her house, yes, and I'm at my house, and we are using this awesome website to record with our own microphones that we bought instead of me having to borrow my dad's. So, yeah, it's...
Yes. So if we have technical difficulties, or we talk over each other because it's delayed, or...
Just
see,
if something's
I've
weird.
Been having... I've been having problems because I can hear myself slightly, and I'm having to learn how to talk over that. Because
I've been monitoring audio. Actually, at first we didn't monitor it at all, and then I was like, ooh, there's headphones here, let me try these. And then I was like, oh, I can monitor it and, like, make sure we can actually hear ourselves the way I want to.
Yeah.
And so... I've gotten used to it, so it's not bothering me. But
I am not used to it. Yeah, we've had to start over like 3 times because I've been struggling.
But the first thing that we wanted to mention is if you are on Instagram and you're following us, then you've already seen this. But if not, Sydney, wait, what's our username?
I believe it's just Forbidden Cities Podcast.
I don't know. Search something that has to do with our our podcast name, and you'll find us. But
yes,
we have a fan fiction on there, and it's of Lodestar, and you have to go read it to know more details. But it's from the end of Lodestar.
Yes,
we switch between
it's the one we've been talking about
yes.
for a long time,
like, literally since March. We actually stayed up till 5 a.m. and finished it. But yes. A great decision on my part. Absolutely wonderful.
Yes.
I worked.
If you don't have Instagram, it's also on our page on the wiki. If you go to the blog section of our profile, just in case you don't have Instagram.
Yeah.
I put it there too.
It's there as well. And
yes.
it is amazing.
Take that.
Because we're very humble.
Oh, talking over each other is going to be bad with this because it's lagging. Yeah. But take it as a peace offering.
Yeah. We're sorry for taking so long. And then also, there is an announcement, not from us, but from Shannon Messenger recently. She had a baby? Which
this is such a delayed reaction for us.
I know.
But
I know it came out like weeks ago, but still. I had a whole freak out where I was like, what? And then we had to put it in a podcast episode, and it kept getting delayed, but you don't
Should we read her post?
Yeah, you can read
it. It's so cute. Okay, I'll read it. It's so cute. Just in case any of you guys aren't on Instagram again and aren't updated on this, I'll read it to you. Her post says, well, first she put a picture of baby feet with hands and a heart around it, and the baby is wearing something that says plot twist. And it says, these tiny feet spent... Yes, for real. These tiny feet spent months kicking and kicking and kicking, sometimes so hard that I wondered if they might break something inside of me. But I was grateful for every jolt, and it proved he was strong and safe. Despite all the doctors who told me this could never happen. Still, everything felt too fragile to share baby bump photos or exclamation mark filled posts with everybody. And now that he's here, my social media seems too public to say his name or show his face. I also can't find the words to describe how it feels to hold my perfect little plot twist close and kiss his soft cheeks. But I wanted to at least explain why I've been away so much during the last 9 months, and why I won't be around for the next bit. My body needs time to heal, and we need to learn our roles of mommy, daddy, and baby. And hopefully we'll figure out how to get a little sleep. or at least a little sleep. I promise I'll check in for anything important, and my amazing assistant will also keep you updated. I'll be back as soon as I can. In the meantime, I have some tiny toes to tickle. It's only fair after all the kick, kick, kicking. Love, Shannon. Aw, it's so cute. I can't... It makes so much sense now. Like, this is such a delayed reaction because this came out so long ago, but I'm trying to remember what I was thinking at the time.
I love babies, and it makes me so happy.
I know. And the plot twist. Oh,
yeah.
That's so cute.
And I noticed that she was less active everywhere, like, in the past, basically, year. And I was like, And, by the way, It also does mean that book 9 will be delayed to 2022. She said that at some point, I think. Wait, was it a separate post or?
Yep, I have the post right here. Let me see if it says anything interesting.
Basically, we have to wait next year, which is fine.
Yes.
But I.
Yep. Basically.
I don't blame her. I, as the oldest of 8 kids, I am of course the expert on all things parenting. That's sarcasm. I am not a parent, but I do know that parents with newborns, they can't do much because newborns either they're lying there and you have to watch them to make sure they aren't doing anything that could endanger their health, especially once they're like 1. But they every about 2 hours just decide to scream until you like do whatever they want, and you never know what they want because they can't talk to you. So anyway, my brother is like 10 months old right now and he is a little demon. Anyway,
we're definitely gonna have plenty of time to theorize and get through all of the books, so that's good for us.
Yeah, we'll be able to catch up by the time book 9 comes out and actually
seeing as we're only on Exile.
Oh man. But that's the other thing is we'll be able to record hopefully more regularly, being able to do it separate now.
Yeah.
Okay.
As long as I can get used to the lag.
Yeah, and we can try to figure it out. There's other recording systems we can try in the future.
Totally.
All right, so this episode is, like I said, it's going to be kind of a fun, a little bit random of an episode. It's all kinds of random fun things we've been wanting to do for a long time. And so I was just like, let's just do them all in one episode to satisfy the poor listeners that have been deprived of our wonderful selves for so long. And so there's 4 kind of sections to this, I guess. The first one is going to be one of our friends. We're allowed to say her name, right?
I believe so. Okay. I don't know why not.
Friends, Molly. Molly has not read the Full Keeper series. She read the first book, right?
No, actually she didn't. I gave her my beat up copy and I don't think she ever read it.
Nice. Okay, so Molly has not read
it. I don't think she wanted it. I was just like, take it. Take it. But.
And so, then the second, and it's going to be us sending her pictures of characters. She's going to name them and then describe them. She's already done this and we have screenshots of it, but that's the first section. The second section is, my dad, which you guys have heard lots and lots on. He is a very funny, surprisingly random person. And so, it will be, I said a name to him, and then he described the character to me. And then the third section will be us reading fun reviews and emails we got. We can't read them all, because then it would be really long. But it's going to be some of, like, little fun things, or kind of responses to podcasts we've done, or little interesting things that we're like, ooh, we should read that.
And, then and I don't think I've heard any of these.
Yeah, so Sydney...
Correct? Yeah.
Probably not. There's, like, one old one, maybe. Maybe. Sydney checks the email, so she sees a lot of the mail and text screenshots. So, by the way, guys, if you are leaving things on Instagram and email and you're like, oh, JC can't see them, don't worry. Sydney is showing JC, so I get to see
them. Yes, definitely.
And then the last section I'm really excited about because I have no idea what to expect, but there apparently are Keeper of the Lost City's deleted scenes that came out, like, relatively recently.
Did you not know that until I told you last night?
No, I didn't. And I was like, what? Like, when was this announced? Where was this announced? What?
I assumed you were still checking her Instagram on your computer, but no. I guess not.
It's blocked.
Yeah, she's... Wow, okay. Yeah. So she's been announcing these, and I've just been so busy, and I can't use links on my phone, so I haven't read them yet, and so I was like, okay, can read them live and react to them. Yeah.
It's going to be so fun. I'm so excited. I'm flipping on side. Okay, but we're going to start on Molly's reactions. So let me find them on my phone.
Well, it's less reactions and more, well, we sent her pictures of the Keeper Lost Cities characters.
Descriptions, I guess.
Yes, and asked her to describe them to us without knowing anything.
Yeah.
And it was pretty funny.
So, Cindy, do you have the pictures? I think I forgot to put them on the regular.
What do you mean?
I don't think I put them on a photo share where you can see them.
No, but I went to the chat, so I'll just scroll down as
so
go.
She can see. Awesome. So the first one I texted her a picture of is Bianna, right? You have that on your side, Cindy?
Yep.
Cool. She said, oh, okay. From what I remember about y'all talking about Keeper, I feel like I should know who this is, but I'm not sure. Bianca is her name, maybe? Or maybe that's someone else. We're going with Bianca, or Bella, for her name. Okay, characteristics. She seems like an extrovert. Not quite a leader type exactly, but definitely knows her stuff and isn't afraid to express her opinion. She seems sassy and compassionate all at once, too. Maybe a loner?
She did so good with this one.
I don't know. I go back and forth. On the one hand, she looks like the person who's dated everyone. But on the other hand, she looks like the type who is like, oh no, to marriage. But then on the other hand, yes, I have three hands. Oh, sorry. Yeah, the other hand. I have three hands. She seems like a sweet, innocent girl who is still like 12 at heart and is like a little princess. How's that?
That one?
And we were like, whoa.
That one was actually really good.
Like, every part
of
that
is so
accurate.
So funny because they're so off. But that one, she
nailed
it. That
was impressive. Good job, Molly.
Yeah.
All right, and then the next one, we sent her picture, Stina, and she said, why does she look like a mom? Like, on one hand, she's 17. On the other hand, 45-year-old mom. Why you gotta do me like that? And she said, we're going with mom. She seems like one of those super cool, super hip moms, but not the kind that annoys the kid by trying to be cool, but the one who genuinely is cool. I'm trying to think of an example, but yes, a really in-touch mom, like a superhero mom or something like that. She's a fighter and is really loving to her chillins. And then she said, but I feel like she's a kid. And then she named her
Stina
Fiona.
As a mom.
She named Stina Fiona.
And I was like, that's actually kind of close. Stina, Fiona, sort of. She's not a 45-year-old mom, but you know.
You know. And then the next one, I sent her a picture of Bront, Counselor Bront. It's kind of blurry because it's from, you know, the tiny little picture we got in 8.5, but, you know, she gets the picture. And she says,
this part.
I'm a professional squinter. She said, okay, so he looks like a bin. If you guys are on our Instagram.
Which was so funny to us.
Because we just put out the Ben Shapiro meme. There's context.
If you know our... Yep. Just go to our meme account on Instagram. Click the one with the picture of Ben Shapiro and Bront, and you'll see what we mean. And so we thought that was so hilarious that she said he looks like a Ben right after we had made that meme. Yep.
She goes, no one in the series has a normal name, but he looks like a Ben. And she says, I no longer care about being right. Throws caution to the wind. And then she said, okay, he looks like a Slytherin. That is all I have to say.
Did she say anything else about
Slytherin?
It?
Slytherin.
No, that's all. Like a just that he's a bin in a Slytherin.
Yeah, there's a green background, says why.
Mm.
Interesting. And dark hair.
Yep. So we have Bella, Fiona, and Ben.
All right, the next one.
Bella the princess, Fiona the 45-year-old mom, and Ben the Slytherin.
That's it. He's a Slytherin. That's his whole personality.
Mm-hmm.
The next one, I texted her a picture of Vespera. So I'm trying to go to where we are. She said, ooh, she's scary. I can't decide if I think she's actually evil or just one of those characters who's edgy and all that. Like, she's not mean, but she's not all sweet and bubbly. She said, a bit sarcastic, a lot bit fierce, and maybe a touch rude sometimes, but deep down, she loves her friends. Oh, and she's passionate. Very, very, very passionate. This is the only one where a name isn't popping into my head. And then she said, Alberta. I hate it, but that's what I keep
Alberta.
Thinking.
Alberta, who loves her friends.
That one is really far off. Okay,
I know.
I texted her a picture of Fitz, and she goes all caps, that's Fitz! I know him! Ha 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 ha! And then she's like, okay, so Fitz is like pretty boy, outgoing, nice, etc., etc. fast forwarding to my next picture, because we get really off track for a second.
Oh yeah, no, because
she call
then
him
she
Corky
says...
by accident?
No, what? Oh, that's an inside joke. You can't say that.
Okay. She said, one of those people who thinks that, wait, who thinks he's all that.
Wait, you missed something.
Blue. Wait, what did I miss?
It's up here. It says, so Fitz is almost too nice, makes me gag. And then she said, so just write down pretty boy. And then I think, yeah, that's where she says, one of all those people who thinks he's all that because his eyes are blue and his face is symmetrical, shaking my head.
No, she said, I want an alternate name.
Oh, she does say.
I vote Corfy. And then she said coffee.
Mm.
And I said,
I know she's referencing.
And then I sent her a picture of Dex.
Yes.
And she said, hold on, I'm trying to go. Oh, she said he's the little brother character, like Leo and Percy Jackson.
Yes.
And I was like, she's
and she was accurate with that one. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then she called the character stereotypical. And
wait, oh, and then she named him Daniel.
Daniel. That's a good, yeah. She said, I keep trying to say Leo.
Mm-hmm.
Then the last
because
character...
Because she said he looks like Leo from Percy
from
Jackson.
From Percy Jackson, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think the last character we did is Tam. She said, ooh, this guy looks interesting. She said, the problem with the series is all the characters have unusual names, so I feel like I'll never get them right. And then she says... Tanner. That is my final guess. Which is impressive. Tanner. I mean, it starts with the same letter.
And wait, then... I think you missed some. Oh no, you're getting to that.
Yeah. Here we go. Did I ever do the one I dubbed Tanner? And she said, okay, so back to the dude. His senior superlative is most likely to turn to the dark side. He starts out nice, the pretty boy whose head is full of cupcakes and unicorns and fluff. But if you're not careful, he'll go bad real quick. He's secretive but supportive. Sweet but elusive. Maybe a warrior. I don't know if there are warriors in this, but maybe he's one of those. And then she showed us a picture of a random shirt. So that was fun.
Yep. We sent her a bunch of other ones, but she never got back to us. Yeah. So, if you guys want to hear more of Molly's first impressions of Keeper characters, let us know, and we will do that. Again.
The next one is my dad. Like, I'm so excited.
But no. I don't know what these are going to be. I'm a little...
I'm the only... Okay. I guess me and, like, some of my siblings and the only people who have ever heard these before, so you guys should be really excited.
Oh, no?
This is some of the funniest. Okay. My dad, he had not read any of the series whenever he did this. Right now, he's read 2, book 5, and now he says he's bored and doesn't want to read anymore.
Oh my
but
goodness.
He also won't let me spoil anything, so I can't just be like, okay, Orly, Sophie's mom, keep going. So, here we go. I said, Mr. Forkle, what does he do? Explain him to me. This is what he said. Mr. Forkle has two brothers. He's triplets. He's two brothers. One is Spoonle, and the other is Knifle. The second two are jealous of Forkle. Spoonle and Knifle work at Applebee's.
What?
It's like, okay, that's really interesting. Okay, what does Bront do? Bront. What were you going to say?
Did you show him pictures, or did you just
I just said
say
the
their
names.
Names?
This is completely only coming from names. Okay,
and
it's Bront.
He's heard... But he's heard you guys talk about the characters a little bit, so he has a little...
His Fitz is interesting based off of that.
Oh, no.
And he makes fun of Kenrick based off of that.
Oh, my.
And Orly. And Keith, if I'm right.
Yeah.
But the other ones, he had no idea anything about. And then after he had read part of the series, ask him about characters he hadn't met yet, but I'll tell you when we get to those.
Okay.
Okay, so the next one, I was like, Bront. Who is he? What does he do? This is what he said. He works at a fast food place. He sneaks burgers when people aren't looking. He'll just eat them behind people's backs.
What?
He wears tight, short tank tops, and it's like his belly hangs out. He can't do his own laundry. He wears 2 short shorts, lifts weights. He's basically just the Hulk.
What? Someone do fan art of this. Bront as the Hulk, stealing burgers.
On, like, the counselor chair. Oh my goodness. And then the next one, Counselor
and
Aaron.
And his 2 short shorts. Sorry.
Counselor Emery. He said Emery. Sounds like this guy who, like, always wears a sweater vest and a bow tie. He's always reading this boring book, and you're like, oh, what are you reading? He's like, oh, it's this very interesting book I have on the different types of rocks.
Okay, I could see this.
He says he always combs his hair, like he parts it down the middle. he brags about going to Harvard or Yale, like, all the time. Every time you see him, oh, did you hear that I graduated from Harvard?
This was Emory as a Foxfire student.
Honestly. The next one, Fenton. Now, he's hearing me ranting about how much I don't like Fenton, so this is what he decided that meant. Fenton, he's in sorcery, like, he's a sorcerer, like a dark magic. He loves silver and hydrogen and black darkness.
Sulfur, hydrogen, and black darkness. Wow.
It's so random. Fallon, Fallon Backer. He heard me laughing about Fallon one day, so he's just like, Fallon is a comedian, and he's also Superman.
What?
King Dimitar. What? I said, okay, King Dimitar, and he just goes, Shrek. I have no idea how he knew that, but that's all he said.
Wow!
It's like, wow, very good, okay.
I am impressed. Wow.
Zarina.
That's amazing.
I was like, wow, you've never heard me mention this guy. Okay, good job. And then I said,
okay, when you hear Zarina, did you ever watch the Pirate Fairy Tinkerbell movie when you were little?
No.
Okay, I'm pretty sure the main character is named Zarina, and that's all I can think of when I hear Zarina. Continue.
All right. Zarina.
Some of you will probably know what I'm talking about.
Zarina works at, wait, where did I lose it? She works in the circus on the trapeze. Ah. Oh, he was trying to say Zendaya.
Zendaya!
I did. But I was like, Zarina. Yeah, that's Zendaya.
Oh my goodness. From The Greatest Showman, if anyone doesn't know, and if you don't know, culture yourself.
I'm dead. Okay. Zarina marries Zac Efron.
Zarina.
Oh my gosh. Claret. He just said Claret is in the Nutcracker. So he was trying to say Claret.
Okay.
Gen Z.
So we have Shrek, Zendaya, and Clara.
Gen Z.
I just realized Gen Z sounds like Gen Z.
Oh, that's not what he heard.
Okay, sorry. Continue.
He just looked at me and was silent for a few seconds and he goes, is that a spice for your crock pot?
What?
He's like, like, I don't know, something spicy or something. And I was like,
Gen Z?
It's a person.
I mean, I guess I sort of hear it, maybe?
He thought it was paprika.
What? Oh my goodness.
I don't know, man.
I mean, Gen Z, I'm trying to think of a comparison. I don't know.
The next one was Kenrick. So, he said Kenrick.
Oh no.
He's a wimp. He's just really wimpy. He won't do anything. He won't get out of bed. He wears a hula skirt all the time. Just like a Hawaiian hula skirt.
Mm-hmm. 24/7.
He walks in rain to try to drink it. Like, he walks around with his mouth open, and that's the only way he'll drink anything. And
how does he come up with this stuff?
I don't know. I'm like, how are these things popping into your head?
What?
And the next one, Orly. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to take a sip of water. My family,
I
used to say Orally instead of Orly, because I thought that was how you pronounced it, but I was wrong. And they're like, Orally, ha ha, her name's O'Reilly. And then that's all they would say. If I would say Orally, they would say O'Reilly back to me while I tried to talk to them. So that's why I was so determined.
O'Reilly.
That's what my dad did.
Yeah.
And so I was determined to switch to the correct pronunciation, Orally, so that they would stop, and it worked. However, this was back before I knew the correct pronunciation, so I was like, okay, O'Reilly. And he goes, she's Irish. And that's all I could get out of him.
Huh.
Because, yeah, O'Reilly.
Hmm.
Anyway.
Interesting.
Grady. He said, he's good at math and foreign languages.
Okay.
No, he's not. He's not a polyglot or mathematician.
Maybe. Oh, he does do the coding thing in book one. Like, look at the codes. Not the codes.
That's
the
mostly Dex, yeah. Though.
No, not codes. Sorry, the scrolls,
oh,
yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I guess that's true.
Sure.
Pull
out a slide.
The next one is Fitz.
Oh, no.
This is the second time we're trashing Fitz in this one episode.
Oh, no.
So this is my dad, pre-keeper. He didn't even know what Fitz looked like. Fitz.
Wait, he does or doesn't?
Does not. Sorry, he knows nothing.
Hmm.
He's really hairy. He never bathes. He doesn't know how to tie his shoes. He also has a huge belly that also hangs out of his shirt, and he always wants to talk about NASCAR. Like, every time you see him, he's just like, dude, you see the NASCAR race? And you're like, no, that's boring. He's like, well, I just want to talk about NASCAR.
What on earth? Where is he getting this stuff?
And this is all at the same time, by the way. So he's coming up with all of these random things in one sitting, and me and my siblings are just dying laughing. It was at dinner one night, and I was like, I have to write this down. This was years ago.
I know.
This is...
Wow.
Okay, Keith. He goes, okay, Keith, he likes honey, knives, guns. He's always shooting rabbits. And he carves things with his knife.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, my name is Oscar, and I'm the host of the Potter Discussion Podcast. The Potter Discussion is the ultimate Harry Potter podcast, discussing everything from Harry Potter, Fantastic Beasts, and the entire Wizarding World fandom. This isn't your everyday Harry Potter podcast, because we have regular, in-depth discussions about obscure and fascinating topics. So if you enjoy in-depth character breakdowns, Harry Potter quizzes, and you are a Harry Potter super fan, this podcast is for you. Search for the Potter Discussion Podcast in your favorite podcast app, or click the link to learn more.
Cool. Hello? I think we're back. Hi.
JC's Wi-Fi is questionable.
At best.
Oh, wait. It's still really delayed.
Yeah.
I hear myself talking after I finish talking.
It'll catch up in a second.
Hopefully. Okay.
Okay, Alina. She's a surfer. She only eats fruit. She brags about how much kale she eats and is smart but not very nice. That was accurate.
Hmm.
Like, I feel
except
like...
Except the surfer. Brags about how much kale she eats. I feel like she's smart but not very nice. Maybe. Except, is she smart, though? That's the question.
You know, she's an elf.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. Okay.
Ro.
Okay.
He's just said, he's in charge of doing the boat. Row's airboat. My dad starts rowing an airboat, like miming rowing an airboat. And he's a SoundCloud rapper and a break dancer. He goes to dinner school. Wait, or is it a she?
Row's the boat. SoundCloud rapper.
And he also sang Row, Row the Boat like a rap edition, and I don't remember how he did it, but he did.
What on earth? How do you get that from the names?
My dad. Bo. Bo is Ro's brother. Bo is Ro's brother, who's an archer who likes to be called Arrow. He drives a tractor all day.
Why can't I see this one, actually? You see what I mean? I don't know. I can see Bo driving a tractor and insisting on being called Arrow. It's like, I am Arrow.
I am an arrow.
You must call me that. I don't know.
Yeah. And then I asked him about Nubatai. Is that how you pronounce the dwarf, Nubatai?
We'll go with it.
And he just said, I can't say that. And I was like, what? He said, I can't say what she does. And I was like, okay.
What?
I think he was running out of ideas. So he was just like, it's redacted.
What on earth?
Umber.
I wish I had this skill to just come up with random stuff.
Umber. He said, Umber makes umbrellas.
Okay.
Because
I see where this one came from.
Her sister's name is Ella. Because umbrella, get it?
Oh my goodness. I just got it.
Amy. He said, Amy's just normal. And I was like, oh. And he said, what? Like, the most normal person you could ever come up with. Like, she takes the bus to work, does her 9-to-5 secretary job, then goes home, makes herself dinner, and watches TV, goes to bed at 9. And I was like, oh.
I mean, he was right until...
until he elaborated.
Yeah. Okay.
Timken. Timken is a clown wrestler.
What?
He wrestles clowns for a living.
Okay.
Vespera gives nighttime devotions.
Somehow, some of these are like on... Wait, she what?
Gives nighttime devotions. Only at dusk, professional breather.
Professional breather?
Like, teaches people to breathe. Like, breath guidance.
How does... What does that have to do with devotion?
I don't know. She leads devotions only at dusk.
Only at dusk? That sounds like a cult.
I think it's supposed to be a cult. Vespera sounds like a cult leader.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I asked my five-year-old... No, he's seven. Sorry, I have a lot of siblings. I asked my seven-year-old brother who Mr. Forkle was, and he said that he was a frog with white hair. That's just a bonus one.
Why does that fit somehow? Some of these just weirdly, they're way off, but the vibe sense. Fits. Like the Timken one?
Yeah.
He did show up looking like a poodle, so. I don't know. Vespera's, the cult leader thing, it kind of works.
It really works.
Forkle is a frog with white hair. Okay.
Frog with white hair. And that's all I have from my...
I mean, an old... Yeah, I see. Wait, didn't you have some that... Which ones were after he had started reading the series?
Oh, those were Ro and then all the ones after that. So Ro, gotcha. Bo, Nubitai, Umber, Amy, Timken, and Vespera.
Gotcha.
Okay, he had read the series, but he was just like... And I guess that's how he knew Amy's name. Maybe he didn't know Amy's name. And then he was like, also, she works an office job. But he's only in Lodestar, so he doesn't know, like, what happens in Nightfall with all that, so...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Doesn't know Row or Bo.
I'm trying to remember what we were planning to do next. Okay, oh,
Bo on the tractor. That part also makes sense somehow.
It did. Anyway. Like, the vibe was there.
Yeah,
just call me Arrow. Okay.
The warrior.
So the next thing, I have a couple of screenshotted emails and things from fans. The first one is from Emma. Emma, you remember how, okay guys, in an episode, we were saying... Tarek always, like, stands at the door, and they open the door, and he's just standing there, and it's so creepy, and he has, a fear of knocking.
I have seen this at this email.
He's like, a fear of knocking, so, like, he'll open the door before someone can knock on the door. Does anyone remember that rabbit trail? Well, if you don't, it happens. And so,
I do.
Emma emailed us.
I remember.
And she goes, in one episode, you mentioned Tarek's name having a suspicious meaning, but when I searched, this is what I found, and I felt like it needed to be shared. Tarek, he who pounds at the door. His name, spelled with an A instead of an E, means he who pounds at the door. And it's so perfect because he's afraid of knocking.
He said, he's like, I am the only one who pounds at the door. I am the pounder at the door. No one else is allowed to pound at the door.
It's so perfect.
It's just so oddly specific.
I know.
And wow, I love it. Thank you so much, Emma.
Thank you.
When I first read that, I was cracking up. Like, I'm numb to it now, but it was so funny.
I'm just, like, my brain is distracted because...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, it's 2 o'clock in the morning for you guys.
Oh, yeah.
For you guys who are listening, it's 2 o'clock in the morning right now, and I've been up...
We had some serious technical difficulties and scheduling difficulties, so...
And I've been staying up...
The show must go on.
At, like, 7 for the past 3 days, so... Yay!
I stayed up till 3 watching High School Musical, the musical, the series last night.
It
was not a wise choice because I had to get up at 8.
I stayed up till 2 introducing my sister to Tom Holland, who she now has a crush on. For those of you who listen to the...
This episode is so random.
I know. For those of you who listen to the character theme songs episode, it's Karis, that crazy one.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so the next fan email comes from, I'm not sure how to pronounce your name, but it's A-D-I-T-I. And you said, I've been listening to your episodes and I'm loving them. For the character theme song episode, we just mentioned that. Having your siblings on there was amazing. Thank you. They were entertaining. I was scared to death. I had no idea what they were going to say. What about Swan Song by Dua Lipa for Sophie? And you actually sent the lyrics.
Yes.
The flicker burning... You know the time is running out. Only I see, oh, the diamonds breaking down. I won't stay quiet, because staying silent is the same as dying. I won't stay quiet, the flicker's burning low. This is not a swan song. We just gotta hold on tonight. This is not a swan song, swan dive. Yeah, it's a new life, real fantasy, wishing it was make-believe. What is the reason of doing nothing at all, watching it fall? Sydney actually mentioned this song to me, and I was like, oh my god.
Ever since I've heard it, I've been like, Dua Lipa. Are you a fan?
It sounds
It's so accurate.
Yeah. Either Shannon heard the song and then was like, yeah, I will write this
No, it came out afterward.
Really?
Yeah. It came out, let me see. Let me look it up. Well, I have the lyrics now. I think it came out in like 2019.
Oh,
Dua
wow.
Lipa Swan Song release date. Let's see.
There's like mentions of fire. There's mentions of fall.
Yep,
there's
2019. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Does she like have a little sister who's telling her about this or something?
That was a mind blow. You guys can't see.
Yeah.
Mind blown.
The diamonds breaking down, flickers burning low. Just all of it.
It's amazing.
Real fantasy, wishing it was make believe. What is the reason of doing nothing at all, watching it all fall? It's so accurate.
I'm very impressed. Yeah. Thank you so much.
I'm very suspicious.
Our dear friend listener. I'm in a crazy mood right now.
Thank you.
By the way, guys.
Me too.
I'm a little bit crazier than usual. So, yeah. Okay, the next one is our Apple Podcast reviews, and I'm so excited. Okay, so by the way, guys, if you have not left an Apple Podcast review and you have Apple Podcasts, you should leave reviews, because I want to start doing this. Today I'm proposing this live on air, but I want to start doing things where if there's, like, a really cool review, we just read a review at the end.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fun.
Okay, cool.
I was thinking we should just do this with fan mail. Well, it's not really fan mail, like friend mail.
Friend mail.
If we get any things that are interesting, we should start having a section for that.
Sorry if there's, like, a buzzing in the background. The fridge just decided to start making a weird burping noise. So, anyway. But, yeah, so the first one is from Nadia. And Nadia said, I love your pod. Chances are you won't read this. Ha ha. Well, you chanced wrong, Nadia.
We read them all.
But do
just letting you know.
Yes, we do read every single one. So if you have one on there, we have read it and then freaked out about it and proceeded to nearly cry.
Any comments, anything we get, I send it to JC immediately.
And then
we have a whole... I'm exposing us right here, but we have a whole album called, like, shared album called Podcast Encouragement.
It keeps us
and it just has all of you guys. Yeah.
Because, like I said, we're busy, and then so there will be times that we're like, this is hard. And then we'll go and look at the album and be like, but I love them.
We love you guys so much.
Thank you for listening. And the encouragement. Anyway, do you think that Glimmer is Tamin Lin's mom? Also, so key forever. That was the rest of Nadia's review. Glimmer as Tamin Lin's mom. Is she old enough for that? She seems younger. It seems like Tam has, like, a little crush on her.
Yeah, I think she's too young, but I have heard the theory a lot.
Really?
This is my first time. Yes.
I'm not on social media.
Oh, really? Yeah, I've heard that ever since Glimmer came in. I don't think it's true, but I respect the theory.
I think it's a cool
theory.
She's
too young. Yeah.
There's just not a lot of evidence for it either, because we haven't had Glimmer in a lot of things. But
there's no reason to cross it out other than it just doesn't feel right.
But, like, we've said that about other things that we've been wrong about, so. And then Silky Forever. I agree, Nadia. Silky. There's a lot of Silky reviewers on here. I feel like at some point there was a DM or something, and someone was like, you guys keep bashing Fitz, and I like Fitz, but I listen to the podcast anyway, and I was like, oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, there was, like, early on, I think.
And now every time we mention Fitz, I'm like, okay, so, I'm gonna bash him, but I'm sorry. This one's from Disney Lover. That's the name in it. Disney Lover with a smiley face. And the review says, I love this podcast so much. Good Keeper of the Lost Cities podcasts are so rare, but this one is amazing. I've been listening to it during a road trip, and it's awesome. My favorite episode so far is the character theme songs. They had such great chemistry, and I love the siblings.
That one's popular.
Yeah.
We need to bring your siblings, both of our siblings, back on.
Oh, man. With the wonderful audio quality. they had such great chemistry. I was surprised about that. And then the other one I liked was the Myers-Briggs episodes. Okay, there's probably been other reviews that have said this, but that makes me so happy because I was so scared that, like, people wouldn't understand it when, like, the Myers-Briggs episodes. And continuing their review, I also am an INFJ. Every Keeper fan should listen to this podcast. And that made me excited. I was like, oh my goodness, there's an INFJ listening. I feel like you're a celebrity now, INFJ person. Congratulations. Okay, and then the next section that we're doing is the Shannon scenes, and I'm so excited.
Have you ever wanted to start a podcast but don't know where to begin? Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest way to launch, promote, and track your podcast. Podcasting isn't hard when you have the right partners, and Buzzsprout is passionate about helping you succeed. Following the link in the show notes lets Buzzsprout know that we sent you and gets you a $20 Amazon gift card if you sign up for a paid plan, and it helps support our show. If you want to upgrade, Buzzsprout has tons of guides to help you find the right equipment at the right price. You'll get a great-looking podcast website, audio players that you can drop into other websites, detailed analytics to see how people are listening, tools to promote your episodes, and more. All you need is some gear you already have and a quiet space. Join over 100,000 podcasters already using Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world.
This is what Shannon said about the deleted original prologue. Okay. I wrote the scene because I wanted the beginning of Keeper of the Lost Cities to feel mysterious and ominous, but I decided it didn't work for readers to have more knowledge about Sophie's past than Sophie did. It made her character feel a bit annoying, since it took her so long to catch up to everyone else. So I cut this and made the series third-person limited, meaning I only include a scene of Sophie's in it. Oh, and you may notice that a few of the details about Prentice's memory break have changed since I wrote this prologue. Writing is rewriting, and again and again. Okay, so this is the prologue. No match.
Yes.
The two words flashed red across the screen like a taunt, tempting Quinlan to fling the palm-sized gadget off of the rooftop. He's on a rooftop. And let it shatter into a million pieces below. Somehow he fought the urge, instead taking another slow, deep breath before pressing the final sequence of buttons. Please work, he begged to the tiny screen as he ran his fingers across his sweat-streaked forehead. Talking to inanimate objects, a sure sign of desperation. Feel. Oh, it's flipping so slowly. A second later, the screen filled with the words, unable to process. Quinlan clenched the blinking square in his fist, like that would somehow make it cooperate. When it didn't help, he switched it off and shoved the gadget deep into the pocket of his cape and glanced up at the sky. Time to deliver the bad news. The night was just starting to fade into the deep blue glow of early dawn, and one by one the stars were winking away. Alden would be there any minute, but as the seconds dragged by, Quinlan could only pace the length of the rooftop and wait. Back and forth, back and forth. A flash of light stopped him in his tracks, and a tall figure in a dark gray cape shimmered onto the rooftop next to him. I came as soon as I could, Alden apologized as he smoothed his dark wavy hair. His vibrant teal eyes shone even in the dim light. What did you find? Quinlan tried to force out the words. When they wouldn't come, he reached into his pocket and retrieved the gadget, holding it out for Alden. See for yourself. Alden tapped the screen and a hologram appeared. Oh, I love holograms. The unlocked scene. Cindy sent a screenshot of it to me, like, right before we recorded, and I was like, you're gonna make me cry, and then I'm gonna sound weird on the podcast.
Oh, that one. I was thinking of Forkel's office. Isn't that holographic, too?
Yeah, but that's in, like, Nightfall. I'm talking about... Oh, no, it's a... I don't know. It's
so
not,
she originally... I was surprised by the hologram thing. So she originally introduced that a lot earlier, but took it out. Okay, anyway...
A double helix of DNA strand glowing in the darkness.
Ignore me.
Well, this is a surprise, Alden whispered. A shadow of concern was painted across his handsome face. Have you shown this to anyone? Only you. Good. Let's keep it that way. Quinlan nodded. You couldn't get anything else? Alden asked, still studying the hologram. I tried, Quinlan assured him, but Prentice's mind was particularly strong. I had to shatter his sanity in order to extract the one piece I recovered. Alden nodded gravely.
So that's a detail that's changed. Such a waste.
He held the hologram closer to his face, his eyes narrowing. I'm no expert on these, but this one looks strange, doesn't it? It's been altered somehow, Quinlan agreed. The system couldn't even process it. Oh, so this is a plot hole that I mentioned one time. I was like, why don't they just test the DNA and figure out where the parents are from that? That's
And right. I was like, Shannon could come up, she either has an explanation or she could come up with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, nice.
Said, I assume there's a match. I ran at 5 times. No, they're just looking for a match to a person. So they're not looking for parent matches. That you have to draw blood for that. It's probably that's probably why. Okay. It's because you have to draw blood to find parents from DNA, and they're like, nah. Or you could do hair, I guess.
Anyway. Wait, you just got really loud. Really, really loud suddenly.
Well, sorry.
Okay.
But actually, cool. So it looks like they're not testing for parents, Sydney. It looks like they're testing for a match.
Yeah. But it still could be an explanation for the plot hole.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. I mean, I don't think it's intentionally that, but it proves the point that she can explain it away. Anyway.
Alden took a turn at pacing. I assumed there was no match. Quinlan laughed darkly. I ran it 5 times. Alden ran it a 6th, to be sure. Well, at least we know it's a girl. They both fell silent, lost in their own thoughts. What do you think it means? Quinlan finally whispered into the darkness. I have no idea, Alden admitted. He touched the center of the screen and the hologram disappeared, but I need to find her. You really think you can? Quinlan asked. Where will you look? I'm not entirely sure, though I suppose if I wanted to hide a child, there's one place I'd be fairly certain no one would search. Quinlan sucked in a breath. You don't mean... Alden nodded. It seems like the best place to start. But there are so many of them. She could be anywhere. It won't be easy, Alden agreed, and I'll probably have to wait until her abilities develop before I can truly identify her. That will take years, Quinlan warned. I know. Well, I'll have to be patient. Quinlan looked away. The poor child. A rueful smile spread across Alden's lips. Oh, they're not all bad. Still, to be raised by humans. So, the humans are all bad. Mm-hmm. Quinlan cringed, just saying the word. Alden's teal eyes twinkled mysteriously as he pulled a pathfinder from his pocket and held the crystal out to the first rays of dawn. A single beam of light was refracted toward the ground. Who knows? Maybe it will be good for her, he said mostly to himself before glancing at Quinlan. I'll let you know when I find her. Don't you mean if you find her? Quinlan couldn't help asking. Alden shook his head. Oh, I will find her. I just don't know what we'll do with her once I do. He gave half a bow and stepped into the beam of light from his wand. His body glared for a second and then vanished. It does sound creepy. I didn't know what we'll do with her.
Interesting. Yeah, I see why she cut it. It's a really good scene, but I see her point about it would be annoying to read that and then
have Sophie be like, "What is an elf?"
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I still feel like it doesn't entirely explain the parent thing. Like they could still have tested it.
Yeah, but maybe they didn't. It didn't. It says their system couldn't even process it, and so I'm guessing it couldn't process it.
Yeah,
for like, her parents too.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's just interesting to see the process that Shannon did to get to where
and changing Prentice's memory.
Yes.
Thing.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea why.
It makes me feel better about my process writing.
Yeah.
Okay. Deleted scene from Exile. Let's see. Okay. I'll read what Shannon said. She said, "This scene used to be part of the R and Flare sequence." What is that?
The when part. When they're doing the R and Flare, and Sophie sees the fire. The bonfire thing. Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And was a moment I created to show that something might be wrong with Sophie's abilities. But I realized after I wrote it that it didn't really sell the idea that she was malfunctioning. If anything, it made her seem even stronger, so I cut it out. And I'd considered including the skill in a later Keeper book, but I decided it was too confusing trying to differentiate it from other things telepaths could and couldn't do. So I dropped the idea from the series entirely. Ooh, this sounds interesting. Bianna yelped and jumped out of her seat. Don't do that, she screamed, flinging a cookie at... A cookie? Sorry.
Okay.
A cookie at Fitz's head. Did I miss something? Sophie asked. Yeah, Bianna's afraid of the dark, Fitz told her. More like my brother loves torturing me with his evil mind games, Bianna corrected. Actually, it's a highly developed skill. I feel like I should be doing an accent. Sorry. Fitz explained with a smug grin. I bet even Sophie can't do it. His eyes narrowed, and Bianna screamed again. Even Keith jumped, even though he tried to cover it with a cough. Sophie frowned. I don't get it. You didn't see the giant shadow wolf that just attacked us? Bianna asked before screaming again. There, right there. You really don't see that? She pointed to the fire, but all Sophie saw were the dancing rainbow-colored flames. Okay, you guys are starting to freak me out, Sophie admitted. What's going on? He's impelling, Alden explained when he joined them by the fire. That's what we call it when a telepath pushes a shadow of a thought into someone else's mind to make them see something that isn't there. It's mostly a novelty and a bit of a gray area when it comes to the rules of telepathy. But it appears your unique blocking protects you. But that doesn't make any sense, Fitz argued, narrowing his eyes yet again and making everyone except Sophie flinch. I can transmit to her now. Shouldn't I be able to impel? Impelling reaches a different part of the brain, Alden reminded him, and your connection to Sophie is limited. You can't even read her thoughts, only make her hear yours. Keith laughed. Foster loves keeping her sense of mystery. Fitz frowned, and Bianna screamed again, clinging to Alden's arm. Dad, tell him to knock it off. I think that's enough impelling for one night, son. Though, I wonder. Alden turned to Sophie. Would you like to give it a try? All you have to do is concentrate on a thought and push it toward us without opening your mind to ours. I guess, Sophie mumbled, not loving the way everyone was staring at her. She felt too frazzled to come up with anything original, so she copied Fitz's idea and imagined a shadow wolf with hackles raised and fangs bared. When she could picture every strand of its bristled fur, she narrowed her eyes and shoved the thought towards her friends. "What the?" Keith shouted. "JC, it's the thing I did on the...
You could have done it.
I could have done it!" Okay, quick pause. On our short story, I had Keith saying, "What the?" And then I was like, does that sound too much like a human phrase? And so I cut it, because I thought it like, drew you out of the story. But I could have done it, because he doesn't hear. Anyway. "Ahem. What the?" Keith shouted, covering his ears as Alden ducked and Bea and Fitz screamed. Sophie cleared the image from her head, and everyone's straight, wide, haunted eye.
You're cutting out. Sorry.
"Did you open your minds to ours?" Alden asked. Sophie shook her head. "Hello?
There we go. Hello? Sorry. The last thing I heard was, did you open your mind to ours?"
Oh. I heard you say, uh-oh. And that's all.
Yeah,
okay.
I had cut out. Keep going.
Okay. "Did you open your minds to ours?" Wait. "Did you open your minds to ours?" Yeah, that's right. Alden asked. Sophie shook her head. "Why? That was no shadow," Keith mumbled, looking paler than she'd ever seen him. "That was a full-color 20-foot monster. I swear I could even smell the dog breath." "Me too," Fitz said quietly, "and I could hear it snarling." "It was so real," Bianna whispered, hugging her dad and glancing around like she expected the wolf to emerge from the shadows at any second. "I'm sorry. I didn't mean..." Sophie fumbled for her home crystal. "Wait," Alden said as she held her pendant in the firelight. "You don't have to leave. You didn't do anything wrong. I nearly gave you guys a panic attack." "Yeah, you did," Fitz said, trying to smile but not pulling it off. "I almost peed my pants," Keith added. Humiliation burned Sophie's eyes. Why did she always mess everything up? "Your mind is stronger than we're used to, that's all," Alden assured her. "Well, that's still a problem," Sophie replied. She didn't know her own strength. And if she couldn't understand herself, who could? "It's really okay, Sophie," Alden insisted. "Please stay." She tried to stand a little taller as she shook her head. "Honestly, I have a headache now, and I'm sure Adeline's waiting for me. Thank you so much for dinner and the Arran Flare. I'll see you guys at the opening ceremonies, right?" she asked Fitz, Keith, and Bianna. They nodded, and everyone tried to smile as Sophie let the warm light whisk her away. But Sophie would never forget the look on their pale faces. Fear, maybe even terror, like she was the monster. Mm. And Sophie had a horrible feeling that they might be right. Okay! That was interesting.
She's a four.
First of all,
she's a four.
She is four-ish
okay,
here.
Okay, so if you haven't seen the first Thor movie, skip ahead 30 seconds. Loki says this whenever he finds out, and you better have skipped forward if you haven't seen the first Thor movie, whenever he finds out he's adopted, he's like, "Because I'm the monster that parents tell their children about at night?" That's like the same line.
Yeah. Didn't we already decide that she was a four in book one and then she changes?
I think we did.
We said four.
Grandma Alden.
I think we said four. I don't know. I don't quite know. But I know we said she was a four in book one. Wait, but this is Exile. Mm-hmm. No, because we said in the beginning, and I think we said she changes, but we weren't sure what yet.
Okay, and the reason, the reason that I was kind of broken up is my mom, guys, by the way, sorry, it's 2:30 in the morning, so my mom wants me to go ahead and sleep, and Cindy, I can cut this up if we need to, but she wants me to go ahead and sleep, and then tomorrow we're going to record the second half and then just put them together and have it all be one recording.
Cool. That works. Can we finish reacting to this part, though?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So, JC, did you also notice how accidentally similar this is to our book?
Oh, you're right.
We can't say anything else, but that's all I could think, because I was like, it's exactly what we have.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, Shannon, stop stealing our ideas.
We came
up with a book idea when we were, like, 12, so we had no idea, but it's very similar to something we have happen in it.
All right, interesting. So I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording. All right, guys, we are back. It is not tomorrow or what we were talking about when we said tomorrow. It is like a week and a half later because life is crazy. But, I mean, we wouldn't have been able to record at all if we were doing it in person. And I have better audio now. Yay.
Anyway.
Yay.
Yeah, I listened back and realized, a big room with no carpet is not the best place to record. So, all that said, our next scene is the Everblaze scene. So, the introduction to it. Let me see if I can zoom in. It's teeny tiny, guys. Okay. The introduction is not visible where I have it. There we go. Shannon's note. I removed this scene from the sequence where Sophie heals Fintan's mind because I decided it worked better to have these kinds of interactions happen between just Sophie and Fitz instead. I also worried about having Sophie push too hard for the healing since it goes so very wrong and I didn't want her to feel too responsible / guilty. Shannon. Guys, I'm so excited. I saw Orly's name in this whenever I was pulling it up and I was like... Sharp jostling yanked Sophie back to reality. Sure. Wait, what'd you say?
Oh no, is it breaking up?
A little bit. What'd you say?
I was lagging bad. I just said this ought to be interesting. My lagged.
Alright. Sharp jostling yanked Sophie back to reality, and she ripped open her eyes to find Orly shaking her by the shoulders. Sorry, Orly said, pulling Sophie as far from Fintan as the cramped room would allow. So protective. Your mood had turned troubling. Sophie glanced at her palms, where half-moon imprints told her she'd been digging her nails into her skin. I don't know what happened. I followed the warmth like I always do, but somehow I ended up in a very dark place. Were you trapped? Kinrick asked. More like I didn't want to leave. The heat was hypnotic. She could still feel it, burning in her mind, keeping her warm in the freezing tower. Jürgen crouched in front of her, staring into her eyes. I don't like the sound of that. Okay, I gotta pause really quick, Sydney. I love this. Okay, first of all, Tyrion's so protective. Second of all, Orly's so protective. They're all so protective because they're all parent figures. And if I'm right, Tyrion's her dad. And it makes so much sense. This is a genius scene. Okay, I'm going to keep going. It's on the next page, so now I have to wait for it to load.
Just this one section.
Me neither, Alden admitted. Is it something I could help with? Fitz asked. I think it's best not to risk allowing Fintan to influence a second telepath, Orly said quietly. But I'm still the guide, Fitz reminded everyone. Sorry, it's tiny. But I'm still the guide, Fitz reminded everyone. You are, Orly agreed, but I think it's better if I continue being the one to monitor, assuming we continue at all. Silence followed as the counselors all exchanged looks. Eventually, Counselor Tarek moved to Sophie's side. Can you heal Fintan? I think so, Sophie hedged, not wanting to lie, but not wanting to make anyone doubt her either. It seems like some of his consciousness is still there, so I should be able to. But his mind is different from anything I've ever seen, so it's hard to say for sure. Then perhaps we should stop now, Alden said quietly. I don't think you realize how long Orly had to shake you before you came back, Sophie. I was seconds away from coming after you. But I know what to expect now. Sophie countered.
Alden's another parent figure.
Yeah. Well, it's because he originally wanted to adopt her.
Yep, at the beginning.
Yeah. I know what to expect now, Sophie countered, not wanting to lose this chance to find the rebels and maybe Julie's killer. Surprisingly, no one argued. They didn't look happy either, and she heard several sighs and mumbles as she scooted back to Fintan's side. But they didn't try to stop her as she took Fitz's icy hand. I'll let you know if I need you, she promised. No. You'll let me know when it's safe for me to join you, whether you think you need me or not, he corrected. Sophie smiled. Fine. She gave herself three slow, deep breaths to steady her nerves. Then she reached for Fintan's temples and shoved her way back into his mind. Okay. I love that. That was the protective parent thing.
I see why she cut it. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I can tell I'm lagging so badly. I hear it, like... 30 seconds afterward. Maybe not 30, but, like, at least
Yeah, I hear myself a couple 7 seconds later.
Anyway, though.
I'll fix it in editing.
I can tell. Oh, you can?
Yeah. I just spliced it all together.
Okay, so I guess figuring out technical difficulties again. Wait, are we recording that way? Okay, I'm just going to trust you. Anyway, yes, because it is wordy and, like, doesn't really have much of a point, but first section.
Yeah, that first you're page. Right.
Like, the first page? That first page is interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
And especially because there were lots of people in there, but the three, like, most specifically concerned about Sophie, not about the healing, were Tyrgan, Orly, and Kinrick. And we already have an explanation of why for Orly and Kinrick, but Tyrgan, I mean, yeah, he's on the Black Swan, but...
That's another... Yeah, Yeah, that's another Tyrion proof. The Tyrion crouch in front of her, staring into her eyes.
Yeah.
I like the sound of that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Like, right after Orly had pulled her as far away from Fintan as physically possible. I don't know. I love it.
And, yep, and Kinnerick goes, were you trapped?
And Kinnerick's like, hey, are we all good? Oh, if... Okay, you said Kinnerick is probably an Enneagram 7, and the 7 sphere being trapped in pain. That's so random and hilarious. Okay, so then you have the next scene. Are you good?
Okay.
So you have the next one. Okay, guys, we're back. Sorry, technical difficulties. It crashed. And so Sydney is going to read the first never seen scene.
Okay, here we go. First deleted scene from Never Seen. I removed the scene from the sequence where Sophie and her friends make their way through Florence to meet up with the Black Swan because the first draft felt like it took me forever to get the group to Iluvatar. Sweet as this moment is, none of the information revealed is vital info, so it made the book stronger to cut it out and tighten the pacing. Shannon. Oh, sweet as this moment is, I am intrigued. Okay, here we go.
Terrified because Never Seen started out Fitzfee.
Maybe it'll be like a Forkle Sophie moment or something.
Like you weird so Forkle shippers.
I don't know. Not that, but you know. Okay. Sophie sighed. She knew Mr. Forkle was right, but that didn't change her frustration. I need something. One piece of truth among all the lies. Mr. Forkle glanced at the Echidons circling in the river, looking very conspicuous and sea monstery, and sure to be spotted by someone if they didn't hurry, before he heaved a sigh of his own and pointed to her purple backpack. Is Ellen there? Sophie nodded. She peeled back the slimy membrane and unzipped the bag, showing him the bright blue Hawaiian shirt-wearing elephant. Mr. Forkle reached for Ella, almost tenderly. Her head had more stuffing when I bought her. He smiled when Sophie sucked in a breath.
Oh, so this obliterates the Elwyn thing.
Oh no.
Not oh no, because, you know, for we those changed of you who it anyway.
Don't
but,
know, there's like there a theory that Elwyn is Sophie's dad and Elwyn bought her Ella. And that's why he's buys everyone else the stuffed animals.
Aww.
But it's wrong.
I don't want it to be wrong.
Sunny. No, I want it to be wrong. I'm hardcore Tyrion now.
Yeah, but Elwyn could still be on the Black Swan or something like that.
I mean, theoretically, but I don't care as much about him. Like, he's sweet, but I don't know. I feel like there isn't.
I just think it would be cute. That's my headcanon, even though this disproves it, even though it's not technically canon. Okay. Anyway.
It's been released. It's technically canon.
Is it? Okay. Looks like your mother held true to her. Wait. Oh. Oh, okay.
Wait, what?
His next sentence, so Forkle says, he smiled when Sophie sucked in a breath. Oh, her human mother. Okay, never mind. I got excited for a second. Look, Forkle is speaking. Looks like your mother held true to her promise. That's one of the reasons I chose your parents. They were good, loyal people. The best humans I'd met, in fact. But I digress. I bought Ella at the hospital gift store after I triggered your telepathy. I knew it was far too early for you to carry such a responsibility, so I wanted you to have something to bring back the security I'd taken away. But I thought you would respond better if the gift came from your family. So I gave it to your mother and made her promise to claim it as her own. That's such a... to use MBTI language, INTJ.
Okay, wait.
Way of thinking about the, giving someone.
So this is what I got, right? He's like, oh, here's a unliftable burden for a child, but I'll give her a stuffed animal that will make up for it.
And the way he says it, I wanted you to have something to bring back the security. I take it away.
It's the most logical, like, emotional sentence one could ever
exactly.
say.
Exactly.
You're right, it is exactly. an INTJ thing. Oh, man. Okay, is that the end of it, or does it keep going?
Nope. Just a little bit longer. He sounded so sincere, it took Sophie a second to remember there was a darker side to his little anecdote.
Ah!
Why did you trigger my telepathy when I was 5?
Right.
That is a story for another time. For the moment, he held out Ella.
There are this so many stories for another time.
I know. Okay, this is who I am. The person who bought you your favorite blue elephant because he wanted to make sure you'd be able to sleep. That's sweet.
That was manipulative. Bruh.
Yeah.
That was not... He didn't even try to that hide. Was, he was just like, no, don't think
I am
that.
The person who bought you that.
And if therefore, you don't like me, well, good. You should feel shame for doubting my goodness.
Wow. Yeah, I don't like that section.
Forkle. She wants some Alden here. Mm-hmm. For those of you who haven't read, like...
It's not canon. It's not canon. I mean, it is, but, okay, it's deleted, so...
But not because... She didn't say it was because Forkle was out of character. She said it was deleted because sweet as this moment... Sweet!
Okay, true. True. Anyway.
Anyway.
Sophie watched Ella dangle from his grip, her past and future caught in a single moment. Ooh, I like that sentence. But the dangling from his grip sounds really weird. Anyway. She couldn't walk away from either. Ooh, I like that sentence, too. True. Let's go, she said, taking Ella back. I like that she's not like, aw, how sweet of you, Forkle. She's like,
yeah.
Let's go.
Oh, no, reverse. I don't like that scene. Logicalness. I love just saying Uno reverse now. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Me too. I don't like that scene very much.
I did not. Well, okay.
That was,
It's not like, I don't know,
it feels wrong.
It's not like I don't like it because I don't like the scene. It's I don't like it because I don't like how Forkle acted there.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's well written, and I like that one sentence.
Yeah.
The past and her future caught in a single moment.
The dramatic. I love it.
Yes.
All right. Are we ready to start scene 5?
Great writing, Shannon. I just don't like Forkle here.
Right. Okay. All right. So, second deleted scene from Never Seen. This conversation also used to be part of the scene where Sophie and her friends catch up with Mr. Forkle in Italy, but I cut it for the same reasons I cut the previous scene. It slowed the pacing and didn't reveal any important information. I love showing how the elven world's problems are spilling into the human world, but I'd already accomplished that with the other things that happened in Florence, so this was redundant and needed to be trimmed. Ah, my computer fell, sorry. Don't worry, we were able to get Geth into safety, Mr. Forkle assured them, but our stronghold has been destroyed, as has the human landmark we used to disguise it. Which landmark? Sophie asked. I believe they call it the Sphinx. I've honestly never understood what humans were thinking with that bizarre thing, but it's gone now, along with the pyramids we used for a decoy. All of Sophie's words felt too impossible. I didn't even know those could burn. Sadly, anything can burn with the right kind of fire.
Wait, they burned
so is Brant, she
and
asked.
The pyramids?
I think that's what it says, that the Never Seen did. So it was Brant, Sophie asked?
Oh my!
We never saw the arsonist, but the flames were everblaze. But the flames were everblaze. Luckily, we learned from the council's mistake and keep a supply of Frisson on hand. Still, this cannot keep happening. Keith snorted. You think? Are you ready to listen to me now? Actually, Mr. Simpson, we are. We voted to try your plan, with a few key amendments. Mr. Forkle went over the details. I'm so confused. What plan? What?
Me too.
Went over the details, but Sophie... Oh, no, this is while they're in... This must be while they're in the treehouse. Remember, Keith was like, listen, you just... I don't remember what it was, but I remember Keith had, like, some impulsive plan, and they were like, no.
Yeah. Oh, no, I think it's to,
Is that to go to Exilium?
Or to go... Yeah. No, to go talk to Gethin. But
okay.
It says it used to be part of the scene where Sophie and her friends finally catch up to Mr. Forkle in Italy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Mr. Forkle went over the context here.
Yeah, the details, but Sophie could only half listen. She was too busy trying to imagine Egypt without the Sphinx and one of the pyramids. Sophie, one pyramid missing from Egypt isn't gonna... it's not gonna mess up Egypt too bad. The humans must be freaking out, she murmured. Buildings can be replaced, Miss Foster. History can't. Those buildings were landmarks.
Ooh,
landmarks
I feel
we
that.
Helped them build. Sophie sighed, remembering a lesson from her elven history session on how the elves helped humans build the pyramids back when the human assistance program was still in effect. The fact of the matter is, Sophie, we all share this planet, Mr. Forkle reminded her. And unfortunately, that means that sometimes others will suffer for our problems. but we in turn suffer for theirs. We've even had to build sanctuaries to protect all the species that humans are destroying and find means to clean their pollution out of our water and air.
Okay, Forkle. Hold on. Pause for a second. This is making me... Maybe I'm just tired because I've been up since 5.
Oh my.
But... and it's, what, like 12?
It's 12:30.
Anyway. Sorry. It just bugs me when people, when she's like, okay, let me tell you why this is bad. And he's like, the fact of the matter is salty. And then goes in this long rant. Anyway, continue.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I still think you should move your hideouts away from human areas, she mumbled. Sadly, that's not an option. Besides, you must remember that these hideouts have existed for decades. The Neverseen are only destroying them now because we have their telepath. If we learn how they're tracking him, the attacks will stop. And that's the end of it.
Forkle, calm down. She just said that history is important, okay? It's okay, Forkle. Interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Any thoughts?
I mean, that was better than the other scene, but I'm still mad at Forkle. These scenes are, like, killing Forkle's reputation.
Yep. His reputation wasn't that good back then anyway, but yeah. Okay. Oh, no. Oh, no. Uh-oh. Oh, no.
I'm scared. What?
Are you ready for the third deleted scene?
Uh-huh.
Oh, no. I'm sorry, Fitzy Shippers. I'm sorry in advance. Third deleted scene from Never Seen. I removed the scene, even though I knew all of my shipping-obsessed readers would love it, because it felt like I was having the characters be aware of the flirting-slash-romantic tension in a way that didn't feel natural to their personalities. I realized that just because I was incredibly familiar with all the crushes between them didn't mean that all of the characters were. Some were a bit more oblivious, and others a bit... And others weren't quite ready to act on that knowledge. So I cut this to stay true to where the characters were emotionally at in that moment. Those with sharp eyes may notice that Fitz's hair stayed green. Oh, I thought this said eyes stayed green for a second. I was like, what? But Fitz's hair stayed green for a bit longer in this draft. And the rules slash process of matchmaking was slightly different. Oh no, this is going to be so Fitzy. Here we go.
Okay.
They were halfway across the bridge when Fitz shouted, wait. His green hair made him look like an alien as he ran to catch up with them. Can I talk to you for a second? He asked Sophie, then noticed everyone watching them. Telepathically. What's up? She transmitted as she opened her mind to his thoughts. I just wanted to say that if you can't sleep tonight, or if you wake up with nightmares or something, call for me. I've heard your transmissions from halfway around the world. I should be able to pick them up from across the river. I don't know what this accent is.
This accent! Thank you. I love it. Continue.
Thank you. But what if I wake you? Who cares? Are you guys done floating over there? Keith shouted. You good?
I promise I'm not What's laughing. So I'm funny? Laughing with you. He said, cause.
Because.
Do you know how many UK listeners we have? I'll tell you after you finish.
Wait, how many?
More than 30.
Oh, I'm... this is... I'm sorry, guys.
No, please continue. I'm sure they'll find it as amusing as I do.
Listen, I never claim to have a good British accent. This is just me coming up with an accent on the spot, okay? It's nowhere near one. Anyway. Are you guys done flirting over there? Keith shouted. Is this how it's going to be now that you're Fitzy? Stop calling us that, Sophie shouted back. That's right, Fitz agreed. We're so fit. He grinned at her as her brows shot up. And then... He hugged her.
What? What? Why this feels like this feels like 8-year-old fan fiction. What just happened? That escalated quickly. With Fitz
very much.
And then they hugged and then they got married. By the way, we have 50 UK listeners. I just looked it up.
Oh, no. I'm sorry, guys. Okay.
And
okay.
31 Focus, Australian listeners.
Focusing like I haven't been up since 5 and it's not 12:30. He grinned at her as her brow shot up, and then he hugged her.
We're going to have a hamster and we're going to name him. If you know, you know, guys. That quote was perfect there.
It was. Okay. It wasn't a tight hug or anything. In fact, there was probably enough space to fit another person between them. That is what? A really
How?
Awkward hug.
How?
That reminds...
What did he just touch her shoulder from across the room? Pat, pat.
That's not a hug. That's like ring around the rosy.
This scene is so awkward. I love it. What?
But still, Fitz was hugging her. Figured this ought to shut Keith up, he transmitted, killing the moment. What moment?
I'm so Sorry. Confused.
I feel like I need to read this part again. Okay.
Wait, figured how would hugging her make Keith stop talking?
Oh, because
Keith he's was sad.
Teasing them?
Wait, Keith. Oh. Wait a second. That's manipulative.
Mm-hmm.
These characters. Okay, keep going. I have a rant in a second.
Okay. Okay. Figured this ought to shut Keith up, he transmitted, killing the moment. Call me if you need me, he said out loud. Sophie turned and walked away, keeping her eyes on her feet as she crossed the rest of the bridge and ducked inside. That was so weird. Like, what is so the pacing? Just, okay, moving on. Della was kind enough to head straight for her room.
Wait, what? Whose room?
I don't... Oh, okay, I think Della's going to her own room.
Okay.
Unfortunately, Bianca did not let her off the hook so easy. Mm. So, what was that about? She asked.
Why is Bianca Kylie?
What was my voice there? It is Kylie. Okay, focusing. Sophie went for distraction. I'm just worried about my family. Sophie!
What does that mean? Oh my goodness.
What does that have to do with anything?
So
oh,
hard.
Because he asked if she was okay or something? Okay, we're going to have to read this one again because... Okay, moving on. I know, Bianca said quietly. I'm sorry. I hope they're okay. Me too. Sophie was almost to her room when Bianca added, but that's not what I mean, and you know it. Are you in fits? Sophie waited. If Bianca wasn't going to say it, she certainly wasn't. This is escalating so quickly. This is never seen.
Yeah.
This is when Fitz, canonically, according to the short story, just barely started liking her.
Yeah. Like, up until this.
I don't know what's going on
you'll
here.
You'll be a sister for real.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. If Bianca wasn't going to say it, she certainly wasn't. Bianca narrowed her eyes. You're going to make me bring up the hug? Sophie cringed.
It just this happened like 3 seconds ago. Bring it up? You don't even have to bring it up yet. All you have to say is, whoa, what was that?
This makes me feel so much better because Shannon is so great. But this scene, oh. Okay. This was dangerous territory. Bianca had almost not become her friend because she thought Sophie was using her to get to her brother.
Drama.
And Sophie would never do that. But she also wouldn't have minded if Fitz noticed her on his own. I'm confused.
Okay, Moving there are on. Actual crickets chirping outside my window. I'm not making that up.
Okay. Bianca didn't need to know that, especially since the truth was so much less exciting. Fitz was just trying to annoy Keith, Sophie mumbled, attempting not to let her disappointment leak into her voice. And maybe it worked, because all Bianca said was, that N-I right there, okay.
Mm-hmm. She totally
then
is.
Again,
Kylie.
Yeah, ENFJ and Kylie, yep. Then again, when Sophie took the leave, Bianca called after her. You know, I don't care, right? If you're and my brother, I mean, it'd be
what?
Weird, but...
Holy cow, we just skipped
nowhere.
Like 4 books ahead.
Exactly. What on earth? Okay, we gotta get through this. We're friends, Sophie insisted. I know, but just in case. Okay. That was Sophie. Sophie says, okay.
Me too, Sophie. Me too.
Sophie wondered if it were possible to have a more awkward conversation. Yes, it is very possible. Apparently, it was, because Vianna had to go and ask, what about Dex and Keith? Now, wait, those were dangerous questions. Yep. Well, not the Dex part, but Keith? They're also my friends. Oh, that's interesting. Vianna arched one brow, clearly not convinced. Aren't we all supposed to be waiting to be matched or something? Sophie asked, trying to steer away from the trickier subjects. Not that being matched was any less weird. It was one of the strangest parts about being an elf. The elves had a complicated matchmaking system, and not following it had huge consequences. They also claimed it was to ensure proper genetic diversity in their offspring, but the whole thing felt super unfair and like a disaster waiting to happen. I guess that's true, Vianna agreed, looking somewhat mollified. That's not a word I hear a lot. Can you believe we'll have to register next year? Well, assuming we're not still on the run. Next year? Sophie asked.
Whoa.
Yeah, we register when we enter level 4 at Foxfire.
Oh, that's different.
We don't get our matches right then or anything. That's not until we finish level 6. But we register early so the matchmakers have time to prepare our lists. That's really soon. I know. Vianna didn't seem nearly as freaked out by this information. She even laughed at Sophie's stunned expression. Good night, Sophie. Night, Sophie mumbled, stumbling blankly back to her room.
Hmm. By the way, mollified means, like, softening to what someone says. So she looks slightly like, oh, okay. Well, okay. Gotcha.
So the end part was not nearly as bad as the beginning part.
Yeah.
The end part felt normal.
Yeah.
The beginning.
That was so random. Though, to be fair, I feel like anything, don't kill me, Fitzfies. Again, I'm saying this, I'm a little bit biased, but I feel like to me, anything where Fitzfies happens, it feels forced. It feels like a fan fiction. Because Fitz and Sophie have that feel of a relationship where if they did get together, it would feel like a kid put them together.
Yes, or like a show.
Right, like a Disney show or something. Because it's just, it's that sort of like girl has crush on guy is the popular, girl can't speak around him, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. And so, not even that, but show as in like, I feel like he's always performing with it.
Yeah, and Fitz is very, unnatural. Fitz, he's never reciprocated affection, like romantic affection towards Sophie at all until like randomly hugging her there or in flashback, the random, I want it to be you. So it's just very like, whoa, 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 what? Because there were no hints dropped ahead of time. Nothing, unless you read the alternate perspective Fitz point of view. And nobody is that good at hiding if they actually have a crush on someone. Like,
Dex, Keith.
It doesn't get all at once like that. Keith, we've had hints dropped throughout the series. Dex, we've had hints dropped throughout the series. You know, he'll blush around Sophie or Keith will open up to her and no one else. Fitz was just there. Like, there wasn't a lot about him. He didn't really do anything differently with Sophie. The other two, yeah, like, you could tell.
This makes me dislike Fitz more. Not bashing Fitz. Fitz is okay. Mm-hmm. He's a character.
I feel like he has a lot of potential for redemption, though. I will say that.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. But, just the way he... Okay, so we know canonically that he had barely started liking her here. He knows Keith likes her.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Isn't that pretty confirmed? And then immediately he goes to manipulating her and hugging her to get at Keith randomly right after he just started liking her.
And with the sort of time Keith is going through in this book, like, even at the very beginning of it, they already knew one of Keith's parents was evil. Keith was just having a tough life at this point. What you don't do is say, oh, you're having a rough life. Okay, what I'm gonna do is purposely hug this girl that I know you like in some capacity. I mean, they're best friends. Fitz knows him really well. And Keith canonically has a pretty obvious crush on Sophie. Like, his is pretty easy to spot. I don't know. That just feels...
And even more than that, just the random hug.
Like, okay, another thing. Hugging a girl out of nowhere like that is really creepy.
Does Keith do that? Because I don't want to have double standards.
No, Sophie hugs Keith.
I don't think
in
so.
Book five. Sophie randomly hugs Keith.
She's constantly, but I feel like holding his hand.
I feel like it's different if it's the girl. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't
and
know if that's
all,
bias, but I just think it's weird to randomly hug a girl that you've never shown any sort of affection for.
First of all, this was never seen, so earlier on, too.
Like, if a guy hugged me, I'd pepper spray him so fast. Sorry, what were you gonna say?
So, they have no physical contact. Like, they're not holding... Are they holding hands or anything? No, they're not.
Well, yeah, in
and
the
then
healing,
he's just
I
like,
guess.
No, I mean, like... Here, you think if you're gonna hug someone, you
oh, like
be,
being
like, sitting
hug,
close
holding
to
hands
them,
for fun. Oh,
yeah,
okay,
comforting them. But that's what I think that's why the hug feels so weird is because they're literally just talking, and then he's just like, let me hug you awkwardly, grab your arms, is what I'm picturing. So, it just feels strange.
Yeah,
why are we analyzing this so much?
Because it was so weird, and we're trying to figure out why was that so weird. Anyway, if you guys want to read
and
these stories over... Oh, sorry, finish your sentence, and then I'll say this.
Sorry. And the way he's just... I'm looking at it, he's like, that's right, Fitz agreed. We're so Fitz. He grinned at her as her brows shot up, and then he hugged her. Like, she just raises her eyebrows, and he hugs her, and then he goes... Figured this ought to shut Keith up, he transmitted. And then, call me if you need me, and walks away. And she walks away. That's, I don't know, that just, I don't like it at all. Sorry. Okay, done now.
Yeah.
Continue.
Anyway, yeah, if you guys want to read that and, like, process it yourself, read it at your own pace, or show it to people, that's at keepofthelostcities.com. You go under extras, and it's, like, right there at the top. It's pretty easy to find. But... Anyway, Sydney's disappeared again, so I'm going to stop the recording and then we'll finish up. All right.
I'm worried about it.
Sydney returned.
So random.
You can hear her saying that she's worried.
Hi.
So, anyway, yeah. So, we're very sorry about all the technical difficulties in that. And if it is too messy, I will try to do my best to fix it. But, yeah, we're really sorry. In the future, it's not going to be so scattered. We're figuring out Wi-Fi and rooms and carpet and all that. But,
and timing.
Yeah, and timing. But this is our first virtual podcast, so... I mean, for it being our first virtual podcast, I would say it wasn't horrible. We actually got it recorded.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't say it now because we're just
a week
recording,
and a half.
But...
Yeah.
All right. So, I'm very excited for you guys to get to listen to this because this is fun to record.
Yes.
This is a
Do
fun
we have
episode.
Any idea what we're doing next after this?
I think we'll probably go to our Exile spoiler episodes.
Yes, okay. Oh, man, I might have to read Exile again.
Yeah, or, I mean, you guys, Instagram message us if you'd rather, instead of hearing Exile spoiler episodes, like, do Everblaze, or just if there's another fan episode you want. Basically, if you have episode ideas, tell us, because we like hearing them.
Yeah, so, and life for both of us is a little crazy right now, so we're really sorry about all of the delays, technical difficulties. Like having to record like this, which hopefully we'll figure out.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not really something we can help. So I hope.
Yeah, I mean,
give us grace.
I'm really, really glad that we actually could figure out a way around it and we can still record, like at all.
Yeah.
So it wasn't something that I was thinking was going to be possible, but it is, and we don't have to like stop recording even though I'm going to college. So that will be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
I'm excited.
So, that is everything we have for you guys in this episode. The next one is a mystery episode. You'll find out whenever we post something about it. But until then, bye guys.
Yeah, bye.
Thank you for listening to the Forbidden Cities podcast. Leave us a review and tell a friend about the podcast if you liked us. Email us with comments and episode suggestions at theforbiddencitiespodcast@gmail.com. And to follow us on Instagram, just search @ForbiddenCitiesPodcast.